Hey y'all, my name is Eric. I'm the lead pastor at Emmanuel in Hooksett. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Our goal is to be a blessing to everyone who listens as you continue on your journey of faith. It's also our hope that you'll be encouraged to find a church to belong to so you can plug into that congregation and bless others with the gifts and experiences that God has entrusted you with. Well, I hope this podcast is a blessing to you and encourages you to get out there and be the blessing. God bless.
Today's title is Last Kid Picked. Last Kid Picked. When I was a kid, and maybe when you were a kid, we used to get together with other kids in the neighborhood or maybe a group of friends, and we would get together to play a certain sport, right? For me, it was typically baseball, wiffle ball, or kickball, or sometimes street hockey, but wasn't the best at that. And so we'd get together, and we'd pick two captains, right? You ever experienced this? You pick two captains, usually they're the oldest or the best at that sport, right? And then they would one by one pick who was going to be on their team. And then at the very end, when there was one more left, it was typically the kid that wasn't very good. He was probably not that good at sports, or he was the youngest. He was the last kid picked, right? Some of you feel that because maybe you were the last kid picked. Pat, you were? Sorry, man. We love you, though. I remember listening, on a similar vein, I remember listening to a podcast interview. It was with a successful, I believe he was a business coach. And he was asked the question by the interviewer. He was asked, listen, when did you know like you wanted to really help and develop people? And he said, well, I remember when I was a teenager, he was in a similar situation. A group of kids got together and they were going to play a sport, and he was picked as one of the captains. And this was the first time he was picked as a captain, so he was a little surprised, but he got up there and his mode of thinking was, you know what, instead of picking the best kids, I'm going to pick the worst kids. So he, one by one, picked the worst kids, and he picked the ones that were like the youngest and the smallest, because his mindset was, listen, if I can help and develop them and we can actually win, that attests more to like the ability and the leadership and coaching that God has given me. And I thought it's pretty awesome because it's kind of what God does. He does something very similar. God chooses and saves the beat up and the broken. He chooses and saves the afflicted and the addicted. He chooses the outcast and, an old term, the ragamuffins of society, and makes them vessels of honor to the goodness and the glory and the grace of God. God's grace, and I love that song we just sang, God's grace finds me. God's grace finds these people and some of us in the darkest places, so that he can make them shine the greatest and the brightest for him. Jesus this morning wants to save you, and he wants to give you purpose in him. I think David understood, as we're going to see, this last kid picked feeling of being the last kid picked. And you may not have been the last kid picked in like sports or athletics. Maybe you would be the last kid picked like in, you know, like in intellect or in, you know, some other area of life where you may be the last kid picked. But listen, God loves the last kids picked. And you may say, well, I was, you know, pretty athletic. I was pretty, you know, wouldn't technically call myself the last kid picked. Well, he doesn't just love the last kids picked. But as we'll see as we get into the Word, when you come to Christ, in order to be saved, you have to realize that you're a sinner, and that you need his help and his love. So let's begin our journey on how David came on the scene. So if you weren't here last week, you can watch the sermon. But last week was kind of explaining what a heart for God is, and that God was searching for a man after his own heart. And we talked about being a person that has a heart for God. And so we see the beginning of this journey. So if you have your Bibles, or if you can look up on the screen, we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 16. So we're going to be pretty much in all of Samuel today, 1 Samuel 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 13, It'll be a little different this morning. I couldn't read this without like jumping in at certain spots. So I might read a few verses, but I'll jump in with some commentary and to mention some things that hopefully will drive home to us some ideas and some thoughts that will help us this morning. So let's get into the scripture. So 1 Samuel 16, 1. Now, if you were here last week, I want to see if you remember some things. Do you remember the name of the guy that was God's prophet that would mention judgment upon nations as well as would guide the king? Do you remember what his name was? Was that Samuel, right? So Samuel was the prophet at the time during the reign of Saul and later of David. So Samuel was the prophet of God who God would speak to the people of Israel and to the king. All right, you remember what the first king of Israel's name was? Saul, right? So Saul was the first king of Israel, and we're going to see he was picked and he did good for a little bit, but then he kind of started to slack off and disobey God. So let's read the beginning, verse 1. We'll start there. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" So I got to stop there. So this is interesting, right? So Samuel obviously cared for Saul. Samuel had a relationship, a friendship, right? Samuel was like constantly working with Saul as the king and helped guiding him as God spoke to Samuel. He would relay it to Saul. And so they developed naturally a friendship. And I don't have it in here, but if you go back to like the verse before Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 starts, it's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 34. You'll see that when Samuel went to Saul and told him, "Listen, God has rejected you," they separated. And depending on what commentary you look at, or depending on how you look at the historical timeline, from verse 35 into 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, where we are now, there's at least 10 years, right? Could have been 10 to 15 to 20 years. And so from the time that he's separated from Saul, I confuse the names too, so don't feel bad. From the time Samuel and Saul separated, because God says, "Listen, I rejected him, you need to separate." And so Saul went on his way, continuing to rule and really in disobedience to God and in rebellion. And Samuel went his way. It says that Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. So from this point on, he wasn't going to see Saul until Saul was ready to die. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he made Saul king over Israel. So Samuel went to Ramah, Saul went to his house at Gibeah. So they separated. So I say this for a reason. So Samuel mourned. And here we are in chapter 16, verse 1, at least, I would say, 10 years later, could have been longer, where Samuel is still mourning for Saul. That's a long time. So he says this. So the Lord kind of nudges Samuel and says, "Listen, how long are you going to mourn for Saul?" Listen, and it's the question really I want to bring to us today. Oh, I guess not. Oh, there we go. How long will you mourn? So I want to stop here for a minute, only because I think it's an important point for us to see this. Listen, there is a time to mourn, but there's also a time to move forward. You see, Samuel had a task. He had a calling of God in his life. He was the prophet of God. He was to guide God's people and the king. There's a time to turn mourning into faith. And God is gently telling Samuel it's time to move on. I say that because some of you here today have been mourning a long time. Some of you have been mourning a long time. What are you mourning? Well, some of you are mourning the loss of a friendship. Some of you are mourning the loss of maybe a spiritual leader who hurt you or a religion that disillusioned you. Some of you are mourning maybe loss of opportunities or loss of the way things used to be, I want to encourage you to listen to the words of God to Samuel. How long will you mourn? Some of you have not gotten up from your mourning. Listen, there's a time to mourn. There's a time to grieve. But then there's a time to get up and go. If you listen to what the Lord said to Samuel, he says, fill your horn with oil and go. What does that mean? Well, this is what Samuel does as a prophet of God. He fills his horn with oil so he can go and anoint those whom God has called. So it was his ministry, his calling. I want to encourage you, listen, how long will you mourn? For now, I believe there's a period where God should be stirring in your heart to say, listen, it's time to fill your horn with oil and go. Some of you have been mourning for a while. Listen, there's a time to mourn. There's a time to rest. We've always said, you know, you can come into this church and you can rest and catch your breath. But that's not forever. That's not for 15, 20 years. Like, let God work that out in your heart. Again, maybe there's a time now where he wants you to mourn. But listen, don't sit there so long where you miss the purpose that God has for your life. Some of you may have been involved in the early years of this church and something happened and you're kind of just sitting on the bench. And it may be because you're mourning something that once was. You think that's where God wants you for your life? I think God may be saying, fill your horn with oil and go. Stop mourning. Sorry, was that loud? He might have whispered a little softer. Just want to make sure you're awake. Listen, there is a season, but not forever. It says in Galatians 5:7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who offended you? What offended you that now you're no longer obeying? Listen, last week you said a heart for God is obedient. A heart for God is doing all of God's will. A heart for God is thirsty for God. My prayer is that God will awaken the fire within your heart for him. A thirst and a hunger and a passion for God. Because without that, you're just doing religion. And we're just doing religion. And it's boring and it's dry and it's dull. Listen, is that how you want to live your life? I don't think so. I don't. We want the flames to be going up high, just like when we threw those Christmas trees on the fire. Like, that's the heart. There's a song I wrote a while ago. I think it was with Pastor Eric for teens or something. It was called Catch the Fire. Catch the Fire. Let the Spirit take your flame higher. Like, we need to catch the fire. As I said, we need to prepare our hearts. And I know we're talking about David, but I said we're going to hit the characters around David, right, that he's interacting with. And Samuel, it's interesting because God is dealing with Samuel's heart right now and saying, listen, it's time to get up. It's time to go do your purpose. It's time to go, really, in this case, it's time to do something new. Like, we're going to be anointing a new king. And he says, he has provided himself a king among Jesse's sons. He's like, listen, I know Saul was picked by man, but listen, David's going to be picked by God. And so I want to encourage you, continue your mission, your purpose, your calling. It's time to start allowing God to do something new in you and in your life. Get up from mourning, remove the sackcloth and ashes, and fill your horn with oil. And fulfill the purpose and the ministry God has given you. How long will you mourn? It says in 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22, Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Often oil is a symbol of anointing. And as a believer in Christ, we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so, if you tie this into this meaning, it's very interesting. It's time to allow God and His Spirit to move within us. this morning. And so he goes on, though, and he says, "And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.' But the Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you.'" And so we get to verse 2 and 3, and we see that King Saul, of course, didn't know that Samuel was going to anoint another king, because as we see, Saul got a little crazy. And if Saul found out that Samuel was going to anoint someone else as king, then he is so, he's got such a deplorable state that like he would be willing to kill the man of God, which is kind of like, you know, back then it was like you touch the man of God like you're touching God, right? Like, so he was in a bad state, Saul. And so Samuel was, you know, worried, concerned, right? He's like, well, if he finds out, like, I'm dead. And God says, don't worry about it. Just go. I'll tell you what to do. So God tells him where to go. And he says, listen, I'll show you what to do when you get there. And I think this is an interesting point as well. The point that the Lord says to Samuel, listen, just take the next step. And I think in our lives, a lot of times, like, we expect God to show us everything before we start going and doing what he'd want us to do. We say, God, if you show me all the details of the future, then I'll obey you. I'll do all of your will. But God doesn't work that way. Just like Samuel, he says, listen, you go, and when you get there, I'll let you know who I choose. And so the encouragement to us I want to bring this morning is like, just do what God is telling you to do now. Like, take the next step, because he's going to show you the next step, and then once you step out by faith, he'll show you the next step, and then and before you know it, you're doing something you never thought you'd be doing, right? That's how it works. Like, faith by faith, the just shall live by faith. You step out in faith and obey God, and you don't know what he's going to do, but by the end of it, you're like, wow, I would have never thought God could do that, and see what he does. Here's a truth. God typically gives you just enough information to take the next step, right? And that's where faith comes in. He's not going to have it all mapped out for you, but when we're allowing our heart to be sensitive to God and to his spirit and to his word, we know what he's moving us to do. The first step may just be coming down to this altar and saying, God, forgive me for my lukewarmness. The first step may be, God, you pricked my heart to be involved in the prayer ministry, God. And so I don't know where that's going to lead, but I know you're leading that way, God. It may be God is showing you something in his word, something in your life he wants you to get out. Something you know that's been sitting there and you've been stewing in it, and you're kind of sitting in the mud of whatever sin or disobedience that you're involved in. And you're like, God is saying, I want you to take a step here in order to get out of that mud. In Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I think that's interesting. Well, first of all, David was a shepherd. But also, when you think about a shepherd, like, you know, the shepherd doesn't tell the sheep everywhere they're going. Like, you know, the shepherd leads the sheep, right? Step by step. Through this and through that, and he guides them. And it's the same way God guides us. He doesn't tell us every step he's going to take, but he does give us that next step. And so going on to verse 4, "So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, 'Do you come peaceably?' They did that because typically when Samuel, the prophet of God, went into town, there was some judgment that he was going to cast upon that. You know, either they weren't following God, and in this case, they knew, you know, their king Saul was like on a downward trend, and so they're like, oh man, what's he going to say? Is it going to be like a famine where we're not going to have food, and you know, we're going to be chewing on each other's arms? You know, like, what's going to happen? And Samuel said, nah, peace, peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And so it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So in typical manner, they would grab their sons, and the oldest one would go before the prophet first, because they figure he's the oldest, the strongest, like he would be more likely. And I don't know how much Jesse knew as far as like what was going on, but it was typical custom when you're presenting your sons to present the oldest one first. And so Eliab was the oldest of the eight sons. And so he brought Eliab before him, and Samuel's thought is, and whether he said it, you know, out loud or kind of to himself, was like, oh, bam, this is the one, woo! You know, tall, handsome, dark, strong. You know, he was beautiful and handsome, and he was built like the rock, like, this is the guy, you know, and, but he was wrong. And so he looked at him and said, wow, this is the one. Why? Because we see Samuel was looking at the external. He was looking at his size, his strength, his demeanor, like his face. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. And this is kind of the crux of the sermon this morning. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We see some important truths here, and we could really sit on this for a while. But one of the main truths I want to bring out is, you know, sometimes or many times what man respects, God rejects. Sometimes when man respects based on outward appearance, God rejects based on inward corruptness, character deficiencies. See, this judging by the external and by someone's appearance is what got Israel in trouble in the first place. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2 is the story of when Saul, the first king of Israel, got chosen. And it says this, and he, talking about Saul's dad, had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So we see that the first king they chose, it was heavily based on appearance and stature. And man, this guy looks like a king. But what they didn't know was, what they didn't see was his heart. His heart. Samuel almost made the same mistake again, but Samuel did an interesting thing. You see, Samuel might have thought that, and he might have said it out loud. I was like, oh, this must be the one. But he didn't make the judgment call. He didn't make the choice at that point. He did something else. And we can learn something from Samuel when it comes to how we look at people, how we judge people, is... Sorry. This thing is clicking twice on me. See if I can do it. All right. Kind of application number one is Samuel lingered and then listened. What does that mean? Well, Samuel, he had that thought, and our natural reaction is going to be to judge people by their appearance. Our natural reaction, whether we decide we're going to respect somebody or whether we decide to judge somebody, typically our natural reaction is to judge and to make a judgment call. Well, Samuel, instead of making that call, and instead of responding to his initial thought, he lingered, he didn't make the call, but instead he listened for God to guide him. I think that's important application when we go over this principle, really, of not looking at the outward appearance, but trying to look more in the heart, is this attitude of waiting and listening for God to give you wisdom and discernment. You see, because this society, we know this world, and society is so obsessed with appearances. So, excuse me, in how people look. Kids grow up today, and it's true, right? Kids grow up today, and adults too, assigning worth based on how someone looks, based on their parent appearance, based on, you know, what kind of sneakers they're wearing, based on how they dress, and if their body is the perfect size. That's the world we live in, and society is constantly being pushed. And this is certainly true for kids and for teenagers and young adults, but it's also true for adults in other ways. And it's causing anxiety, it's causing depression and even suicide, right? In teenagers and young adults, and some, because they don't look a certain way and they're not dressed a certain way and they're focused more on the external instead of the heart. Adults judge each other in a different way. We judge by the make and model of our cars, the title of our role in a company. Like, that's how we judge each other. Men and women today flood their minds with pornography and conjure up unrealistic images of what their spouse or their girlfriend or boyfriend should look like, all based on appearance. And even beyond that, we have, you know, AI-generated photos that take out any impurities. Again, sending the message that you aren't good enough in real life. And this world judges based on appearance. And even in the church, we judge based on appearance. Why are so many churches getting in trouble, in some cases with their worship leaders, in some cases with their pastors, that find out that their heart is perverted and wicked? Well, a lot of times it's because we're judging based on appearance rather than trying to understand the heart. And so we got to be careful when we ascribe respect to people and to things because, oh, they're successful in the world and I respect them and want to be like them. Oh, they have, you know, built a great business, or they have, you know, they have this material things, and they always look put together. You know, one of the worst things that I've seen with legalism in a lot of fundamentalist churches is when someone comes into the church and they're dressed in a nice suit and people start automatically thinking they must be spiritual, then you know you got a problem with judging based on appearance. And it goes the other way as well. So it's important. One lesson we can learn is linger and listen. Don't make a quick judgment call and a respect call on someone until you've listened and allowed God to give you discernment and to understand the heart. Understand the heart. You know, we have to be careful, and again, all of us can be susceptible to this, for judging based on appearance rather than the heart. We look at someone that comes in and they're dressed a certain way, or, you know, we work with them and we kind of make a call like, oh, they're this or they're that, whether it's politically, whether it's just the style they dress. Like, Christians, we're called to look deeper. And I know we're not God. We can't see the heart, but we can certainly, we can pause, we can linger, we can allow God to allow us to know that person's heart. And so we have to be careful. And I'd give a warning to our young people, especially as you're, you know, younger, maybe a little older, you're looking for that right guy or girl. You know, if you're basing your spouse for life based on just appearance, then you're gonna have an issue. You know, it doesn't mean they, you know, you don't want someone that looks good. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you focus so much on that, or if girls try to lure guys with their appearance and their bodies, that becomes a problem when they get to know you or you get to know them and you find out, well, the personality and the heart's a little different, and it's going to cause issues rather than what we should be looking at is the heart, the spiritual condition of the heart in a person. Listen, God isn't impressed. Can I tell you that? God isn't impressed with your outward appearance. He's not impressed with the style of clothes you wear, how much makeup you use, how muscular and fit you are. When God sees us, guess what he sees? A heart. And he sees if Jesus is living there.
Hey, all, thanks for listening to this podcast. If you you'd like to know more, please go to our website, emmanuelhooksit.com, where you'll find helpful links and resources, and where you can contact us directly. That web address again is emmanuelhooksit.com. Bless God, get out there, and be the blessing.